I'm Sarah Maddox.
Hi, Sarah.
Wow, this is an experience. I think the only thing that comes to mind is I am scared. God, I don't even know where to begin. I came to NA in 96, and so I've been coming here for a very long time, and I got clean in my early 20s, and I used for about, how long did I use for? Just under 5 years. It's not very long, but it's long enough. I think, it was long enough. And it's a long time since I used, it's a weird, when I have to reflect back on that, it does, let me think, I kind of feel a little bit sad, and, because it was a really long time ago, and I'm not that person anymore, really, I mean, I was quite, and, God, it seems so weird, I find it so weird that I have to start from the beginning, I feel like, because I'm not really one of these people that decided to look into my childhood, but I did last year, just for a year, and now I've decided that I could put it away. I don't really need to keep thinking about it, and I don't really need to know, I am the way that I am today, and that's okay, but I was an energetic child, I was reasonably very happy, but there were certain things that kind of obviously made me who I was, and as a kid, it's kind of like, the most important person to me when I was a little girl was my dad. I loved him immensely, and he was my protector. And when my parents separated, and I couldn't, and he moved away to another country, and I wasn't allowed to stay with him. And I think from then on, I took on that role of being a bit like a soldier. I really did detach from a lot of people, and that included my mum. And I was, as I said, I was reasonably happy. I was a bit of a go-getter, to be quite honest. It wasn't until I got into clean that I just became lazy to some degree. But there are parts of me that kind of misses her, because in some ways I was really protected from actually from kind of feeling really hurt, because I didn't really let anybody get close to me, and I channeled a lot of my obsessions and my energy into reasonably, they were positive things, really. My father was an alcoholic, and growing up around that, it was kind of like, right, I'm not going to do that. I'd never really considered taking drugs. I just knew that I didn't really want to be that person. And, this is going to sound so weird, but I really, I think because of the love that I had for my dad, I really found men quite a big influence in me. I really did kind of look up to them, and to some degree, as a teenager, I definitely loved being a woman, but I to some degree wanted to emanate.
Emulate.
You know how like the emotional capabilities of men, which was pretty not that much. Sorry, I don't mean it to be in a bad way, but that is probably what I actually did aspire to. I really wanted to be emotionally like men. I didn't cry in public. I didn't cry in public. I'd never cry in front of you if you hurt me. And if you were a man and I liked you and upset me, I was going to go home, have a cry about it, and I was going to get over it. And that was as simple as that. And I didn't really... I didn't really break down over anybody's kind of interaction with me. And you know, and it served its purpose. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, there are times I do miss her because now I have to feel, and I feel like a woman, and I kind of, and I am, you know, I can definitely say I'm emotional, and you know, and you know, I was pretty headstrong, and there is no, you know, I didn't think there was that much wrong with me. I knew that I felt quite separate from people, but, you know, I kind of had a, I really believed that my circumstances wouldn't define my life. You know, I grew up, my mum didn't have a lot of money, and I had a brother, and, you know, I didn't grow up with fancy things, so, but I think as a child, I wanted to dream, and I wanted to believe, and I always had that, even in my using to some degree. I did dream. I knew that I could do anything that I wanted to do, and so I didn't really, you know, I wouldn't let my circumstances define what my life would be. So it wasn't that I felt like my life is, well, I wouldn't say I didn't think that my life wasn't that good. I knew that for some reason somebody else always had more than me, and I that's what it felt like. It felt like that, you know, my best friend, you know, well, look, my friends, if they had a mummy and daddy, I was really quite envious, and I wanted to be part of that. What I really wanted was family, and I didn't really have it. But I didn't plan on picking up drugs. But I think what actually, what led me there really was an internal kind of shift. And what happened is I had my first, if I'm going to be honest about it, I had my first boyfriend at 17, and that lasted a few months. And when we broke up, I was a bit upset. And I decided to, one evening, to go out and drink 3 super tenants. And for somebody that doesn't drink, I think 3 cans of super tenants is like, it's a lot of alcohol for a 17-year-old girl to take. And the night of, that night, it's difficult for me. That event changed my whole life because I fell pregnant and I decided to have that child. I didn't plan on having this child. I didn't even want this child. I made a decision the day before I was meant to go in and have it aborted that I would keep it. And really, that decision was made by a whole group of adults. And as a 17-year-old, you kind of like go with it. And I just, there is, you know, well, I had it. And I was really young, and I had this child, and everything that I was on my way to go to a drama school, and I couldn't go. But I was, you know, I had this child, and I was for the first 6 months of his life, I loved him, and I loved being a mum. And then after 6 months, I engaged back in the world. I went back to school, and that's when I had really realised that I was absolutely terrified, and I was really, really insecure, and I really didn't like how I felt. And from that moment onwards, I kind of like, I just got into a group of people, I drank really heavily, and then, you know, I was with a bunch of people, we were all sitting around at someone's house, and someone came home with some heroin, and that was it, I was off. And I remember when I first took it, it did what I wanted it to do, which was relieve me of the anxiety and fear and responsibility that I was feeling at that time. And it didn't seem odd to me, it didn't seem like anything, because really essentially what was living inside of me was my disease, and it was there. And for the first couple of years, it was okay. I managed to travel. I did, you know, I didn't use on my own. I had a boyfriend who I'd met whilst I was at college, and to kind of like, we became like this, you know, we were like little partners in crime. And I had this kid, and I managed to try, you know, I finished school, I didn't do very well, but, you know, I think after a couple of years, you know, I became a full-on, like, heroin addict and crackhead, and hard stomach, actually, but it is, and I had my son around with me all in that time. I think the last 2 years, I didn't feel too good. I did, you know, I kind of like, you know, walk up and down Port Villa Road picking up dog ends. I mean, you know, if you're doing that, it's pretty bad. So, I don't, you know, there are no, you know, I can't even remember most of my, you know, the gory details. I just knew I was absolutely miserable. And the only time I took it really seriously and I realised that I was really addicted and I knew that I was no different from any other addict that I was using with at that time, because to some degree I felt like I was a little bit different and that it wouldn't really get that bad for me. But we used to score with a dealer up in Kentish Town, and this person, basically they were a couple, and we'd go into their house. And I sat down with them, and their kids were around. And for the first time in my life, I realised that I'm no different from these people, and I am exactly what I felt like was that I was like, well, I don't know, 21 or something, 22, and they were in their 40s, and I knew that I would be in exactly the same place as they were 20 years onwards. I really believed that I'd be still sitting in my council flat using if I didn't try and clean up. And then eventually, you know, I tried to leave my boyfriend a couple of times to try and get clean. But what happened is someone inspired me, and I tried to get clean myself. And for 3 months, I didn't take any drugs, but I did use. I did drink. I drank ferociously, and there were people around me that just. I lost my dignity through drinking, to be quite honest, because, you know, taking heroin sedated me, and that was a much better look than, you know, running around the streets of, like, Portobello, which I did do late at night and drunk, and I upset an awful lot of people drinking. You know, I'm not my boyfriend. I remember that my boyfriend at the time, when I was, he used to say to me, you scare me when you pick up a drink, and I prefer you to be, you know, like, to take some gear than to drink. But I don't even need to go into those stories, because I've spent most of my adulthood in recovery. I've grown up in here. So, you know, at the end of the day, we all know that, you know, taking drugs is not good for you. It isn't normal living, and it's not a way to live. And for people, you know, the drugs are out there and people use them recreationally, and that was not something that I could do. I have a ferocious, my using felt ferocious, and it's still, you know, I always separate myself from that word disease, but my disease that kind of like, I suppose, lives inside of me to some degree is ferocious. And I know that because of the way that when I'm clean and I make choices and decisions and how things impact me about the way that I feel, and if I used on that, I know exactly why I can't use today. But I can't, you know, it's 8 o'clock, and I've really got to try and get this going. I consider myself to be a reasonably confident person, and I am still shitting myself after 15 minutes. But, you know, we're in a fellowship, and the word God comes up a lot, you know, and for me, whilst I was out there, even though I didn't really, you know, as a kid, you know, I'd actually been through every religion. I was trying to find a way. I was trying to find a home, and that's, you know, so I had been a Catholic, and I'd actually managed to manipulate my whole family to become Mormons because I really felt that was the way. I'd done Christian Scientists. I had I even learned Arabic. I did everything that I thought would. I just wanted some love. I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel connected because I couldn't get it at home. And whether or not it was available, I didn't want it. I didn't want that. I wanted something else. So, you know, drawing to the end of my using, and I knew that I was a drug addict. I wanted to get clean. I knew there was a better life, and I couldn't do it. And one day, I was walking down Portobello Road, I was standing on the street, and I saw this man walk into this shop called Mr. Christian's, and he was kind of hot, so I looked, and he looked at me, and we kind of had this, we both clocked each other, and I just thought, okay, that was nice, and then I just kind of like wandered up the road, and halfway up the road, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and it was him, and I thought, okay, and he asked me out, and the reason I said yes to this man because I thought, okay, look, I'll go for coffee with him tomorrow because I won't use that day. I just started drinking coffee, so it didn't seem like an unusual request instead of going for a drink. So I met this man, and we kind of hung out for about 6 hours, and he kind of... basically, he turned out to be 11 years clean and sober, and he took me to my first meeting. I mean, I think after about an hour, he kind of clocked what I was on. But, God bless him, lovely man. And I've been clean ever since that. And that was March the 9th, 1996. So my birthday, 15-year birthday, is going to be on Tuesday. And I know that God sent him to me. And of course it had to be a man because I'm a bit more responsive around men. As much as I love women today, it's got nothing to do with the fact that I don't love women. I just think it's just something that I connect with because of my father. You know, he took me to my first meeting and I was happy. I was just happy. I was happy to put down the drugs. And I know that, you know, I was happy that I'd found a place. I didn't quite get it that I had to go to a meeting every single day. I didn't know about trying to live life clean. I was just really happy I'd found something. For the first 5 years of my recovery, I had really selective hearing in recovery. I had a shield. If I didn't want to, my sponsor, and I love her dearly, and she was my sponsor for 5 years, and she used to say to me, everything I say to you goes through one ear and out the other, doesn't it? And I still didn't get it at the time, but she was right. All I did for the first 5 years is not pick up a drink or a drug, and I'm not suggesting that that's the best thing to do. There are other suggestions which are really good. I was really young, I was really stubborn, and to some degree that stubbornness did actually help me because I wouldn't pick up a drink and a drug because I was that stubborn. But in other areas it did prevent me from probably kind of moving into being able to, it doesn't really make any difference. I'm here, I got here eventually. And I think, when I came into recovery, okay, I was happy and I had this kid and I was, and I was a single mom. I took my kid to every meeting that I went to. I didn't really care. I just pitched up with him. There wasn't much I could do. I got a sponsor, but I didn't really listen to her, but I loved her dearly. And when I look back on those first 5 years, I kind of like, my world did change and things opened up. But because I had selective hearing, I wasn't really that willing. I wanted to do it the way that I wanted to do it. So I would go out with as many boys as I wanted to, and I partied a lot. I kind of put myself through hell, actually, for the first 5 years. I even moved to another country because I really felt that the whole of England was just not my type of people. I mean, I'm not... That was... That literally, I was thinking about it the other day, that's exactly what it was. I mean, my discomfort, which is really my discomfort, it's nobody else, it's not about anybody else, it's my discomfort. And I had to, you know, I was finding ways and solutions to try and deal with my discomfort. And whether I flew to another country, whether I moved to another country, whoever I went out with, it didn't really make any difference. It's kind of like I always ended up, it never really worked out, and I had to come home. And, you know, and they're kind of right. 40 minutes isn't enough, is it, really? But, you know, I kind of need to. I was thinking the other day? I have exhausted every external thing that I wanted to use to make myself feel better. And I'm kind of now back at the most simplest place ever, which is basically I just need to find a really good connection with my God. And that is as simple as it is right now for me. You know, and these external things aren't bad things. They're all really good things. They end, or they do its time, and all things, you know, don't work out. It doesn't really make any difference. But I have, in 15 years, have literally exhausted everything. And I'm now back in this place, and I'm quite happy today about that, because really, I always believed in a God, and I always believed in a higher power, and but really, if I'm really honest, I didn't really want him to fix me. Because I, as much as I am physically whole, because I don't have any leaks, I'm not, you know, there are no open wounds on me, so I am effectively whole, but inside, you know, I have a discomfort. And I have to try and kind of I have to heal that somehow. And I know that I need to do it, and I really now believe that the only way that I'm going to do that is by having a kind of deeper connection with my higher power. And, the last few years have been really quite, you know, have been really challenging. And, my son is now 19 years old, and he is, I love him, I do love him, bless him dearly, but I have to, the last four, you know, he's an addict, and I had to watch him destroy my home and basically break me down completely for a couple of years. That was really challenging and painful, and it still is kind of challenging and painful. But he's a lot older, and he's in an institution, and there's, you know, and I, you know, to some reason, to some effect, I am quite detached from it, because really it causes me a lot of distress to watch somebody that I love dearly just not get it, and him have to go through either psychiatric wards and prisons and back in psychiatric wards. And and I kind of say this because I've managed to stay clean throughout it, and I couldn't have done it by coming here. Now, the thing is, the primarily thing for anybody who's kind of, you know, new or anything, I couldn't have done it by without coming to meetings. I had to attend meetings. And over the period of 15 years, I've done a lot of meetings, and then there have been times when, you know, when I was at university, I was studying, I study architecture, and presently I'm doing my master's, but whilst I was doing my degree, I was doing about one meeting a week, and for me that was sufficient. I was happy, and I was my mind was working on something quite positive, so for me it was enough. But what I, you know, after that degree, and then having time out, and, you know, losing jobs, and having breakup of relationships, it's kind of like there's no shame in like hitting the meetings with a long time clean time. It's kind of like I've done it. I've done literally meetings every single day for like quite a number of months just to get better. And because for some time I felt a lot of shame having a lot of time and having to feel like I have to keep coming to meetings and then and share about it. But I kind of, for me today, right, yeah. is that when I'm out in that world, I'm pretty well, I'm kind of protected. I have my defences up most of the time, right, as we all do. And when I come in, this is what's so powerful about this room, because at the moment I've been doing about 5 meetings a week because I need it. I work at home most of the time, and, you know, and it kind of does, it's isolating, and it really does, it takes a lot from me. And so I come to meetings so I can connect, so I can get a better perspective, because I am kind of arrogant at times, and it's kind of good to kind of like be put in my place, to be quite honest, and just to be opened up. Because whilst I'm out in that world, I have all my light protection and all my defences, but the truth is that I'm really an open person. I want to be open, and I want to be loving, and I want to be kind, and I want to be compassionate, because those things make me feel better about me. And what happens is, when I come in here, I leave my defences at the door, I get to sit down and I get to be open, and then I can, and for that hour or that hour and a half, I get to just be who I am and just relax and be able to take in what's happening here. Because, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but this program for me is like, it's based on love. And because there's no way that this could work. There is absolutely no way that this could work. And you know, it's kind of like out in that world, you know, you have your defences and all your protections, and we come in here and we share this, and I think this, you know, and we're able to freely, without shame or without like feeling like there's something wrong with us, that we can actually love each other in this room. And I think that is quite, you know, that is what is really powerful about in here. And when we come in here, and, you know, for me, it's kind of like, I've worked the 12 steps once, and I definitely need to be doing them again, because my disease is way sophisticated now, and I am a lot more sophisticated in how I deal with my life today in regards of, like, if I'm okay. Because the reality is, it's like, I know when I don't want, you know, when the shit hits the fan, you know, it's kind of like, I don't care how long time you got, it don't feel very good. I don't like being powerless, and I don't like feeling what I'm feeling if it doesn't feel good. And you know, I've experienced unbearability, and I know what that is like. So for me, I understand why people go out and relapse, why people choose to take their lives. Because in that one moment, unbearability is not nice, you know, and in that moment, that's when we make the decision of whether we want to live or die. There is, you know, and I don't really want to die, but I can have those thoughts, and I have had them, and I don't really want to. I do actually love my life. I actually want to live. You know, but you know, it's, you know, I'm really happy about having NA in my life, because I can't. I was lonely when I was a kid, really, and I was lonely as a teenager. I was lonely when I was using, and I've been lonely in recovery. I mean, I've done the self-pity to exhaustion. I did it in my recovery. I've done it. I've exhausted it. I cannot. I don't even have an excuse to go there. We come here, we get clean, we find friends, we can find love. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that word. I quite like it. We have the 12 steps, because really, without the 12 steps, you know what, this program, it just doesn't really work, because this is a spiritual program, right? So, and in that spirit, we find a way to understand basically why we used. We make a decision to allow God to come into our life, and then we do, you know, we learn about ourselves, and then we try and practice it out in the world, and then we kind of like have to find a real deep connection with God, because, well, for me, I had to, and I'm having to again today, because I know I have lots of, you know, I have people that are very busy, and if you're really busy, then you don't really get to, you know, you're consumed with your life. It's just like, I don't really need to, there isn't, you don't feel, and I've been really busy, so, you know, in my life, so I know that I can lose connection. And then, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, it's because, like, I'm 15 years, and this, I can feel that there is a, there's a fault line, and it's moved. It's not fixed, really. And I can really kind of be deluded that, okay, I'm about to finish my master's, and that's, you know, but basically these things aren't going to make me, like, ultimately feel fantastic about myself. I can appreciate my achievements, and I can say, you know, I came in with nothing, and I've managed to raise a child, I've managed to watch him suffer, and I haven't had to use, I've still been there for him as his mom, and I've just spent the last 7 years trying to, you know, work on something so I can become something else. And, you know, I can appreciate myself and have those achievements, but I really believe that those external things, they collectively add to my life. But I still feel there is something that isn't quite right. And as much as I want a man to do it for me, or a job, or a school, you know, or my kid, or my mom, or my dad, it's just like, that is a responsibility that is not for them, or it's a thing, it doesn't do that. You know, if I had a car, my car, which I don't, is not going to, it's a thing, it's not going to make me feel great. It's nothing, really. It's about, you know, it's, for, you know, what I realise is that the most important thing in my life are my relationships with my people, because really without them I don't really have an existence. And I come in here, you know, and I've worked the steps, I continue to work the steps so I can feel better, so I can actually, you know, I can feel love and receive love from the people that I want to be around. And then I can deal with the lunatics that are outside, because there are some serious loony tunes walking around the streets, and about how I choose to deal with that. I'm gonna finish up now, but you know, the best thing that I ever did, right, because what happened is, when I came in, I was like in my early 20s, and I sat around and I had a good look around the room, and, like, you know, 15 years ago there weren't that many young people around, and the meetings that I was going to, and I thought, you know what, I've got at least another 10 years. And then I remembered the guy, actually he's not my guy, he's actually my ex, but I did actually end up going out with him, which he was great, so it was fine, and he did his job of taking care of me, worked. But he was 11 years clean, so he'd got clean in his early 20s. So really, I made the best decision to stick around. And it's like people say, how did you stay clean? It's just like, you know what, most of the time I kind of did. I held onto the sofa, I'm really sorry, but you know what, there's like, I did, but there, you know, if you're, you know, all I can say is that if you can grasp willingness and open-mindedness, then you're going to be, it's going to be a lot easier, you know. My stubbornness is what kept me clean and sober, my perseverance, because I wasn't going to let this go. There is no way that I wanted to pick, I want to, I was really, really sad and lonely in my using, and I was really, really sad and lonely before the drugs. I don't really want to go back there, and it doesn't mean that in recovery I haven't been sad and lonely, because I definitely have. I understand annihilation, I did it, but it's there is an option here, you understand, it's like you know, you come into, you, basically, if you've made it into an NA meeting, it means that your life doesn't have to, your circumstances don't have to define your life. You have the possibility to do anything, and you have a program which enables you to kind of like find a way to love yourself and be able to engage in the world. And you know, I feel like it's taken me a long time to get here, but you know, I'm here, and you know, and I like who I am. It doesn't mean that I don't have moments of doubt and self-loathing, you know. I definitely have that sometimes, but you know, essentially we're not superhuman beings. We're just human, and we're trying to get on with our life. But we're kind of lucky because we can come here and we can feel loved, because the world out there isn't that great, really, to be quite honest. And it's kind of like we learn how to love, and we can actually take it out there. But you know, I don't know if I've made any sense, but you know, I'm really happy to have NA in my life, and I wouldn't give it up for the world, because without it, I can honestly say I think I wouldn't be a very happy person. And so whether that makes me a geek or sad, I don't really care, because I've already defined why I know why I come here. And I think that was what was important for me, because I don't, you know, I have friends that come in and they've gone out and they socially drink. I don't really care. If I love them, I love them. I know that without this, I can't actually function, because I don't want to say that I'm a bit of a lunatic, but you know, I know how I feel. It's just that I can just deal with it in a sophisticated way, so all you guys think that is kind of okay, but inside I'm like the road runner. I'm insane. But and that's why I keep coming back. But you know, I'm gonna, yeah, I think that's it. I'm done. Thanks.